heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. If you haven't done so already, jot it down, 888-ASK-HANK, the number to dial to get your answers on the Bible Answer Man broadcast today and in the future, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Begin today's broadcast with just a word about metaphor. A good example is fire. You know, fire can be very, very real. Or it can be used, as it is many times in the Bible, in a metaphorical sense. So when the Bible speaks of God's throne as flaming with fire, we intuitively recognize that an implied comparison is in view. When we read of the lamps of fire before God's throne, we apprehend that there's more going on than mere physical fire. Because John actually tells us that what he is describing when he says lamps of fire is the seven spirits of God. Or consider James. He described the human tongue as being set on fire by hell. Remember when he said, the tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body? And then goes on to say it corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of his life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. Now, James obviously does not intend for us to think that the tongue, which it in itself is a metaphor for human language, is a literal fire that literally sets on fire the whole course of one's life. Nor are human tongues or languages literally set on fire by hell. Now, James is using the language of fire as a metaphor for the destructive power of words, and in the same way uses the language of fire as a metaphor for the destructive nature of hell. And the Bible over and over again uses the metaphor of fire in different ways to describe jealousy, sexual lust, unbridled passion, and the like. I think it's safe to say that figurative language is the principal means by which God communicates spiritual realities to his children. Now, why do I mention this at the beginning of the broadcast? Simply to reinforce in your mind that when you read the Bible literally, it means that you take what the Bible says in the sense in which it is intended. Golden bowls full of incense? What are they? Well, they are the prayers of the saints. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Travis first, Louisville, Kentucky, listening on the web. Hi, Travis.
Yes, I don't want to put words in your mouth, and bear with me if maybe I misinterpreted the call, but I want to let you know that I'm very strongly convinced that the hyper form of Christian Zionism is absolutely cutting into pieces the gospel and turning our gospel into something it shouldn't be. And what I mean by that is to say, you know, I have allegiance to Jesus Christ. And to those natural branches who are Jewish people who have served Christ, and to those of us in the church and the true Israel of God, Galatians 6:16, I have full allegiance to that body, that invisible Israel. What has frustrated me over the years is the hyper-Zionistic, dispensational, premillennial, eschatological nonsense that we are being fed 24/7. And I just wanted to thank you for, if not not to put words in your mouth, but I want to thank theologians like yourself as well as Dr. R.C. Sproul for at least trying to put out an alternative that at least gives us believers a chance to understand that there are other perspectives out there, and that this hyper-Zionistic sort of neoconservative so-called humanitarian interventionism that is not only sweeping our churches but sweeping our government is leading to nothing but bad fruit. And that certainly, I have nothing against the nation of Israel, but I don't think that is what Jesus was all about. He's all about this invisible Israel, this olive tree for which, if we're in faith, we're grafted into and in one body. And I just wanted to thank you for at least being a voice with your book, The Last Disciple, for something different for a change, other than the nonsense. But I'm a man in my 40s, and I grew up with Hal Lindsey, Jack Van Impery, Grant Jeffrey, and all these other people who represent a viewpoint that wasn't even accepted till 1799. And I'm just thankful there are people out there that are at least in speaking the truth on this matter.
Well, Travis, I don't know what to add to that except thank you. The pushback against giving another perspective or an alternate perspective is often pretty fierce. But the words of, and you pointed to Paul in Galatians, are pretty clear, where he said, "Consider Abraham, he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you." So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So if you are a person of faith in Jesus Christ, you are a friend of God and you are true Israel. And I think your point has been made quite eloquently, so I won't add to it except my thanks for your call.
Well, God bless you. And one last thing. I was raised a non-denominational charismatic, and I was raised like mother's milk to believe the dispensational system. And I came to find out that the very dispensational system taught cessationism. And there was a real sort of schizophrenic position that my church took. And I came to find out, I didn't know what Presbyterian Reformed meant, but I came to find out many of the great books on eschatology by Lorraine Bettner, by, of course, the Puritan John Owen, that pointed to different directions were actually published by Presbyterian Reformed Publishing. I'm certainly, maybe I'm an odd bird because I'm a non-cessationist who happens to be somewhat Calvinistic, but I've come to find that the real problem, I'm finding that the Christian Zionism is much more than just a nice view to hold to within the pale of Orthodoxy. I think it very much cuts at the, and we may disagree on this, I think it cuts at the gospel. I think it really messes with the gospel message, and time will tell how that all plays out. But it's embarrassing to see that be seen as the Christian view.
Well, I write about that in my book, The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Thanks again, Travis, for your call. Now let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Danny in Ozark, Alabama, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Danny.
Hey, Hank. I hope you're doing well today. Hank, don't you have you've got 12 children, am I correct?
You're correct.
I said you got 12 children, am I correct?
Yeah, you right? are absolutely correct, yes.
I hope they're doing well. My call is about my 8-year-old daughter who is mature beyond her years, and I'll give you some examples. She's already competing in tennis. She plays piano part-time in the church. She's doing fourth and fifth grade math, but what's really impressive is to watch her, like an adult, offer to help someone. Hmm. She goes next door to our 80-year-old neighbor who is a widow, and she'll sit over there and talk to her for an hour at a time. wonder what they're talking about, but I don't ask. But for about a year now, she's been asking why she can't be saved. And my wife and I, we keep brushing it under the rug, and we don't know how to answer it. Well, we're going to... Last night it came to a head. They went to an event, my wife and her, and at the end of the event, they asked if anyone wanted to come forward and give their heart to Christ. And my daughter started crying and saying, why couldn't she do it? You know, and you know, I know what the Bible says, but what is your belief on it?
Well, you know, 8 years old, as you said, does not mean 8 years old. There are 8-year-olds that are 12-year-olds in terms of their accomplishments or even more. I'm constantly amazed at my own 13-year-old, just turned 13, having conversations with him in the car as I drive him to school in the morning and hear amazing things coming out of his mouth. And so, yeah, the chronological age sometimes isn't the barometer. But as far as asking Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of her life, I think it's a wonderful thing to recognize that Jesus is the one who knit her together in her mother's womb, also the one who spoke and the galaxies leapt into existence. He is the creator of all things. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And recognizing that, even as an 8-year-old, and maybe particularly in this case as an 8-year-old, you have someone who says, I want to participate in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now, it is true that it takes a lifetime of learning to get even a small grasp on the beauty and the beneficence of Jesus Christ. But the fact that she wants Jesus Christ to be her Lord, her Savior, her leader through this life is a wonderful thing. And again, we don't, as Christians, in any way suppose that that is something we do as just a whim. I've said it on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, as just a insurance policy, but a real desire to experience the engrafted life of Jesus Christ, and that within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church. So those who confess their faith in Christ are then baptized, and they receive the Holy Spirit so that they might indeed live not by might or by power, but rather by His Spirit. And then go through a process of deification, being a partaker of the divine nature. And that comes from participating in the graces that God extends to His people within the context of the church, but also through personal prayer and devotion to the Word of God.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. When I get home, I'm going to play this back for my wife. But we're going to meet with our pastor Sunday afternoon. But I think his thoughts are is that you've got to be lost before you can be saved. And that's kind of what, you know, my wife looked up.
Well, that's absolutely right, Danny. I mean, that's absolutely right. Your pastor is right on. I mean, if you're not a sinner, there's no need for a Savior. But all of us, whether we're 8 or 80, recognize that we are sinners. All we have to do is be in the quietness of our own room, introspectively thinking about our lives. We sin in so many different ways. It is not only doing things that we shouldn't be doing, but it's failing to do the things that we should be doing. You gave the example of your daughter taking time with someone else, investing her life, listening. I mean, that's something that oftentimes we don't do when it is in our power to do it. There are a lot of people who are very, very lonely that need that cup of water or that piece of bread or a sympathetic ear.
Well, it's a beautiful thing to watch, and we're gonna definitely get some Master Sunday, hopefully. And thank you so much, Hank, and God bless you and your family.
Well, thank you, and you and your your entire family as well. Appreciate your call. I want to mention that there are a lot of ways in which you can get the Bible Answer Man broadcast. One of the ways is by downloading CRI's Equip app. You can listen, you can learn, you can share. You can listen to live Bible Answer Man broadcasts. You can listen to archived editions of the broadcast. You can also read hundreds of well-researched and relevant articles. You can also use the app to conveniently support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. Simply go to equip.org/app. Also, you can get the daily e-truth sent to your inbox. Check that out on the web at equip.org. And if you're not doing so already, please consider subscribing to our flagship magazine, Christian Research Journal. It is absolutely transformational. Find all of the details on the web, again, equip.org. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
There is one very big problem for agnostics and atheists who dismiss the resurrection of Jesus as sheer scientific impossibility and mythological nonsense. The resurrection actually happened. Professor Paul Meyer's DVD, The Week That Changed the World, gives you the hard, verifiable evidence of history and archaeology on the resurrection. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
miraculous resurrection of Jesus did more than reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being. Yet many believers are ill-equipped to provide persuasive, credible answers to unbelievers who consider the central event of Christianity nothing more than mythological nonsense. Professor Paul Meyer's DVD, The Week That Changed the World, lays out the solid, verifiable evidence of history and archaeology that demonstrates the fact of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Matt in Olathe, Kansas, listening on VOD Radio. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for continuing day after day providing this broadcast. It's been an enormous help to me and for my walk with the Lord. So thank you for that.
You got it. Thank you.
Wanted to get your take and thoughts on contemplative prayer, and more specifically, centering prayer. I've done a lot of research on it already. I know some emergent church leaders that are proponents of it sometimes use the verse in Psalm, "Be still and know that I am God." And I know they're taking it out of context, so I'm not really asking about that verse specifically, but our church is, part of our church is doing a study on a book by Peter Scazzaro called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and it all sounded great and fine until I started reading about the process they wanted us to do and the methods of opening our mind to getting closer to God. And so huge red flags for me. And if it should be a red flag, do you have any alternative thoughts on ways we can meditate, obviously upon the scripture that's given to us, and maybe alternatives to the method of centering prayer?
Yeah, you know, meditation is wonderful. And I think the point of your question is wonderful as well. Which is to say that there are good ways to meditate and evil ways to meditate. Meditation is object-oriented. We meditate upon God. This is the essence of Christian prayer, centering on God as objectively separate, other than creation, and then engaging the heart and mind with biblical content. Centering prayer is without context. There has to be a context, and that context involves content itself. If there is no content, then we are in all kinds of subjective quagmires. So I think what's important when we pray is to center on God, but do so in an objective fashion. The goal of centering prayer, with an emphasis on interior silence, is to bring the person into the center of his own or their own being in order to experience God who dwells within, to experience God directly in the absence of thought. And this is not Christian prayer, and it's certainly not biblical. I, for example, in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, give an example of Zen Buddhism. Because Zen Buddhism is the kind of prayer that empties the mind of coherent thought. The reason is the mind is thought to be the obstacle to enlightenment.
Yes, and I know their defense would be, you know, this is in addition to reading scripture and going through the prayer of Jesus, and so that's all good and well, but I know the history of where this came from, and even Hindus use it as well. Should we not even attempt this practice?
No, I don't think so, particularly in the way that it's taught within emergent congregations. It is a dangerous dogleg into Eastern forms of meditation as opposed to a biblical form of meditation. And you think about what sets Christianity apart from an Eastern worldview. It's pretty significant, and many have tried in the church to merge Eastern spirituality with biblical Christianity. But the chasm that separates the worldviews, I think, is singularly unbridgeable. In the Eastern worldview, you have to remember that God is considered an impersonal force or principle. But in a Christian worldview, you have God as a personal being who manifests communicable attributes, and those attributes are spirituality and rationality and morality. In an Eastern worldview, our goal is to become one with nature because nature is God. And in that sense, the Eastern worldview is actually pantheistic. God is all and all is God. But Christianity teaches that man is created in the image and likeness of his creator, and because of that is distinct from both nature and from God. And another point I would make in this regard is that in an Eastern worldview, truth is realized through intuition rather than through the cognitive thinking process. And in contrast, you have Christianity teaching that truth is realized through revelation. I think of Hebrews chapter 1. A revelation is apprehended by the intellect and then embraced by the heart. Now, much more could be said about this, and it is true that you can relate this to Hinduism and to Buddhism and many other isms that have crept into the church under the cloak of terminology that sounds wonderful but actually is quite drastic. And I would say drastically deadly.
Yeah, very, very unfortunate. Well, I appreciate your thoughts. Very well explanation. I'll listen to this maybe tomorrow once it's reposted.
Well, thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mike, Oklahoma City, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mike.
Howdy, Hank. Hey, I got a question about the throne. Revelation chapter 20 says Jesus sits on a white throne. Recently, I heard a preacher preaching on this, you know, about the final judgment or whatever. But he said, and I don't know that much. I really don't know a whole lot, you know. But anyway, he said, like, he won't. People ignorantly pray that may we approach the throne and, you know, in prayer and all that. Don't pray that for me. I'm not going to have to see it. Is there some other throne that, you know, is there another throne? I mean, is there only one white throne? Or, I mean, what's your take on that? Are we all going to see the white throne, or is it only the judge that are going to see it? I mean, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think particularly in Revelation chapter 20, I opened the show by talking about metaphor, but you have all kinds of metaphor because you see John saying at the very beginning of the chapter that he sees an angel coming down out of heaven having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. Well, angels don't have physical hands. They're non-physical beings. And then he seizes a dragon. Well, dragons are the stuff of mythology, not theology. So the dragon is meant to communicate something. It is a way of talking about Satan or that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan. And then he binds him for 1,000 years. This is metaphorical language, and to take it in a wooden literal sense, of course, makes nonsense out of the scripture. And I gave some examples at the beginning of the broadcast today where John actually explains his metaphors. When he says golden bowls full of incense, he says they are the prayers of the saints, or the golden lampstands, they're the seven churches in the province of Asia. So the same thing is going on in Revelation chapter 20. So when he sees a great white throne and him who is seated on it, this is a vision of God. and God is attired in regal splendor, and he's pictured as sitting on a throne. Why? Because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But this does not in any way suggest that God the Father or God the Holy Spirit has a physical body. And so the idea here is that we're all going to be judged by God. And whether you're great or small, you're going to stand before God and give an account for what you did in your life. The text goes on to say that books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead are judged according to what they have done as recorded in the books. This does not mean that there's big books in the sky somewhere, but that God has a record of all that we have done throughout our lives, and we are judged on the basis of what we have done. Now, there are two kinds of judgments. One is the judgment which is contained in the book of life, which contains the names of all of those who are dressed in the spotless robes of the righteousness of Christ. But there is also the book of mercy. And what we do here counts for all eternity in the sense that we ought to work for those things that do not perish, but those things that last for all eternity. So again, the language is metaphorical, but as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, metaphors have sharp teeth. They illuminate realities that we might otherwise miss. And the reality here is that God is the King of all, and we will give an account for what we did. We are saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ, but what we do counts for all eternity and is a demonstration that we are indeed continuing on in the faith.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Hank. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks for your call. I want to go to another call, but unfortunately, coming up to a station break. When we come back from the break, we'll do a couple of things. One, the quote of the day. And one of the things that I wanted to emphasize in this broadcast is the significance of what we say, the power of the tongue. I found an exquisite quote. I will give that quote of the day when we come back from the break, and we'll answer many more of your questions. So many people calling in from all across the country and other parts of the world. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, and do remember as we go to break how significant it is for people just like you to stand with me and the Christian Research Institute shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. We simply cannot do what we do without you. And so we're looking for support team members. These are people that commit to supporting the ministry on an ongoing, regular basis. You can join CRI's monthly support team on the web at equip.org. Simply go to the web, equip.org, or you can call one of our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. But if you can stand with us, it would make a world of difference to people all around the globe. You don't give to get, but there are things that we will send you, and the reason we do that is to strengthen you and equip you in the faith. One of the great resources available right now, The Week That Changed the World, not a week, but the week. Dr. Paul Meyer is exquisite in this DVD, and it is available for those who support us. We'll be right back.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is without question the most important event in human history. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to family and friends concerning the central event of Christianity, the Christian Research Institute is offering The Week That Changed the World on DVD, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break.
The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Why did the authorities need Judas to identify Jesus? How could the people who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday call for his death just a few days later? Why was Pontius Pilate trying hard to avoid sending Jesus to his death? Is there evidence outside the Bible that these events actually happened? In the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer offers compelling answers to questions concerning the events of Holy Week that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. Dr. Meyer lays out the hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology. Receive your copy of The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. With an unmatched mastery of scripture and history, Professor Paul Meyer discusses and defends the historicity of the events of Holy Week, which culminated in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy. And as I was doing my daily readings for today, I came across St. Philotheus of Sinai, and I thought his quote was particularly appropriate for today's broadcast as I was talking about the tongue in the opening of the broadcast. At any rate, the quote is as follows: nothing is more ruinous than talkativeness and more harmful than an uncontrolled tongue. And I think it's more destructive and disorganizing to the treasure of the soul, for whatever we succeed in building in ourselves every day is destroyed by much talking. And what we collect together with great labor, our soul dissipates again through this disease of the tongue. Again, this quote of the day has as its emphasis the uncontrolled tongue. Of course, James 3 speaks very, very eloquently about the tongue. When we put bits into the mouths of horses or make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, They're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants them to go. And then the analogy. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. James goes on. You might want to read James chapter 3 if you have an opportunity to do so tonight. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Debbie listening in Gardner, Kansas, Bot Radio. Hi, Debbie.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my phone call.
You're welcome.
Your quote of the day kind of speaks right into what I'm going to talk about. But your previous phone call or caller that spoke about his 8-year-old daughter not being able to save, my first initial reaction to that may not be appropriate. I don't know. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But my question to him would have been, or statement would have been, absolutely, she can be saved. I'm not understanding why an 8-year-old couldn't be saved. If she's understanding, you know, Christ, and Christ is calling her, you know, we're all, like, as you said, we're all fallen and fall short of the glory of God from birth until we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts. So my initial reaction is, of course she can be saved. I appreciate your honesty and your way of talking about it, but to me, is would I be wrong in coming out and saying to someone, you know, yes, you can be saved? How do I answer that in an apologetic way and drive home the point? Because it kind of stirred up a little bit of almost an anger, and I don't even know if it was a righteous anger.
Well, I think you're absolutely right with everything you said, particularly your emphasis on, of course, an 8-year-old can be saved, can be baptized, can continue walking with the Lord and partake of the means of grace that is provided for us, by which Christ becomes ever more present in our lives, in which we can experience what is called in Scripture deification. That's why I mentioned in the context of that call, being a partaker of the divine nature. This is the great privilege of those who are participants in the kingdom. So I think the emphasis for me is not only on someone being saved, but continuing on in the faith, which is to say, partaking of the means of grace available within the context of the church, but also within the context of our own personal individual lives. And I was particularly touched as I think back on this call, Debbie, to the fact that here you had a young girl who was listening to someone who needed an attentive ear. And this is another manifestation of grace and the Spirit of God working within this particular 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Is the simple, straight answer, yes, she can be saved.
Of course, exactly as you said.
I'm sorry, I'm not as eloquent.
Well,
I'm
actually,
a little bit more abrupt right now.
Actually, you're doing great.
Walk.
You're doing great.
But I'm just in awe that someone would say, no, you can't be saved at 8 years old. When to me, from what I was listening to, of course, in my interpretation, was that she was exhibiting everything that a Christian should want, and that she could continue her walk from there on out. Because of that, I wouldn't understand why someone wanted to quench that poor 8-year-old daughter's, you know, request.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I think that you've got it spot on. And the father is mentioning in this context that He's going to follow through with this, because again, when we're saved, we're never saved, Debbie, as I'm sure you know, as Lone Ranger Christians. It's not me and my Bible, me and my profession, but we're saved within the context of a community of faith where we're baptized and then can partake of the means of grace available to us within the context of the body of Christ.
Okay. Like you said, the taming of the tongue, my tongue is like, yes, she can be saved. Save her.
Well, you're cutting down. You're cutting right through the fog and getting right to the essence of the issue. And I love the way you put it. Of course, you can be saved at 8 years old. And you're absolutely right, Debbie. And I'm glad that you called and brought that clarification.
Thank you so much, Hank.
Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Ralph in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Ralph.
Hey, Hank. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you. What an incredible honor to be talking to you, such a person as me. I could listen to you for so long, and I really appreciate everything you do and have a lot of respect for everything that you say. And I've learned quite a bit from listening to you. I really appreciate your ministry.
Thank you
very
Ralph.
Much.
I appreciate that.
I have a question here. Our church never comments about anything political. And I don't know if maybe that's the way it should be. I know you're not in church for that, but it seems like to me that with so much strife that we have in our country now, and nothing is ever commented about it whatsoever, good or bad, pro or, you know, con or for or against. And I was just wondering what your position was on that of any kind of denomination.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important for us to be involved in every sphere of life as Christians. And you look at the people who are involving themselves in politics, they are setting the table for what is happening in terms of a Supreme Court justice, or what is happening in terms of transgenderism, or gender fluidity, or abortion. I mean, you can name any number of vital issues. And those issues are driven in many cases by legislation. So, of course, we should be involved in politics. We should be involved, as I said, in every sphere of life. Ultimately, however, and this is not to negate what I just said, but it is simply to put the emphasis in the right place. Ultimately, the only way you change a culture is by changing the heart of a person through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when the heart changes, behavior changes. So while the ballot box is necessary, it most certainly is not sufficient. We need to be involved in the Great Commission, the cultural mandate, and in every sphere of life that God gives us an opportunity and talents us to contribute to. I think one of the great tragedies is Christians not voicing their opinions publicly. Oftentimes they don't do that because they don't want to be controversial. There's a price to be paid. I can tell you from personal experience that when you take on controversial topics, there is a price to be paid. From a worldly perspective, from a only this earth perspective, you're far better off being politically correct. It's much, much better for the bottom line. I can tell you, as I wrote many of my books, that I knew that there was going to be a consequence to our ministry. And yet, there is something far more significant, and that is eternity. And that's what we have to focus in on, because it is so easy, even in ministry, to get caught up in doing things that are expedient as opposed to doing things that are necessary. And it's one of the reasons that almost nightly now, my wife and I curl up in chairs and read about people who took stands for the faith that cost them so much. On yesterday's broadcast, I was talking about St. Maximus the Confessor, who had his tongue excised, who had his right hand cut off, because he stood against those who would take the great mysteries of the faith and subvert them, in this case, the incarnation of Jesus Christ and the fact that Christ is one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. And so when the heresies arose, they became very, very popular in the Roman Empire. And Maximus the confessor was standing against the empire, because the Roman church and the Roman emperor stood in many ways against the very thing that St. Maximus the Confessor was underscoring as an essential of the faith. You think about the three great mysteries of the faith. You have the Trinity, the Incarnation, and the Eucharist. And here you have a man standing for one of these great, great mysteries of the faith and willing to die, be tortured, because ultimately the reward that he was looking for was an eternal reward. And I hope that is at least some kind of encouragement to each one of you. I know that as my wife reads these quotes to me, I get a lot of my quotes from her, as she reads these quotes to me and as I read them myself and as I read histories of the great saints in bygone years, I'm very encouraged. And I'm constantly reminded that what I'm doing is not for tickling the ears of people and making myself popular or having a bigger platform, but it is, what is God going to say? Is he going to say, well done, good and faithful servant? Let not many of you be teachers, James warns, because with teaching there is a stricter judgment. So all of that we have to take seriously, and I hope people listening will judge for themselves the significance and integrity of this ministry and stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. And you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. So many people hanging on full board, and I probably should stay here for an extra hour, but I have a church service to go to tonight, so maybe tomorrow or somewhat later in the week I'll see if I can do more than one this show. But thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.